Because the truth that he understands is a truth that permeates his world, his experience. So there's a natural das over here. The businessman doesn't have to work to induce the faculty of das. A person is naturally, nefesh abahamasly, money-oriented, and therefore, das is an automatic phenomenon in his realm, in his world. So this is what the Alter Rebbe is saying. Hadas hu lashon hiskashrus v'hischabrus. Das means conceiving something, comprehending something, but making it your father. And this is a difficult thing when you're talking about godliness. When you're talking about a businessman, as mentioned before, we are naturally money-oriented. So you don't have to activate the faculty of Das to make the ups and downs in the trade market a reality in your life. Because that's what we're all about most of the time. But over here, you're talking about the Nefesh HaLekis's Das experience. You're talking about making the reality of truth, of spirituality, of Yiddishkeit, of Torah and Mitzvahs, of Getlichkeit, of Elikus, of godliness. Your father, something meaningful to your experience, not an abstract, detached, aloof, sublime idea, which has no bearing on your life. This is a very difficult task. Kumtz again the Medrash and Zog, that kol Talmid Chacham she'ein boi das, nevela taiva himena. A Talmud Chacham can master the Torah and can study for 60 years diligently. But if he doesn't have a Das, there is no application to his life. Nevei l'tayva himenu. And the Yifei Toya, the Radal explained, a Das over here means derech eretz va'anova. It is how it affects the human being on a moral level, his day-to-day lifestyle. The Yifei Toya says, why nevei l'tayva himenu? A nevela, as I mentioned, the corpse of a dead animal, gives off a terrible odor. So a Talmud Chacham, which lacks Taas, also emits a terrible odor. And the Yifei Torah says, in addition to that, desecrates Shem Shamayim, the name of Hashem. But why nevela? Taiveh himenu. Say he's identical to a nevela. So the Yifei Torah says, because at least a nevela is a daimim. A nevela stays in one place. So it's here, you can get away from it. But the Talmud Chacham is a moves. Wherever you go, he'll follow you. This is the meaning in the words of the Medrash. Im yoymar lecha adam yash chachma begayim tamin. Yash teira begayim al tamin. And this is the quintessential difference between teira and all other forms of wisdom. As deep, as sophisticated, as beautiful, as amazing, and as extraordinary they may be. It is the distinction between chachma and teira. You look at the world of the universities and you would expect that these should be the most spiritual centers of our universe. Ultimately, it's places where young minds devote their entire life for knowledge. Knowledge of the depth of what's going on in our world, the depth of what goes on in a person's body, whether in the fields of science, mathematics, physics, astronomy, and so on and so forth. We learned last week the Rambam in Hilchos Seder HaTorah, how he describes the consequence of what happens when one contemplates what's going on in our large universe. So you would expect that these people should be the most spiritual oriented. Anachta ketan. It's vice versa many times. What is the problem? The problem is that there is no das. All forms of wisdom are exactly that. They are chachma. They are very, very deep, many times. They do give a human being a very accurate comprehension and understanding of specific realities, very often. But the wisdom will never come to the human being and tell you, listen, if this is so and so, you have to lead your life in this manner. So the scientist or modern physicist can observe the amazing unity that exists in creation. So what? It's a reality, but it's detached from his life. The Torah will discuss the same thing and say, if there is this unity in creation, so when you wake up in the morning, you have to say, Maidani. You have to acknowledge that there's a one essence that permeates our entire life, our entire existence, and the entire universe. So therefore, when you're in business, you cannot cheat, you cannot deceive, you have to live according to the highest moral standards. Therefore, you have to learn Torah every day. Therefore, you have to devote three times from your day and contemplate through davening on the truth of existence, and so on and so forth. This is not just a difference if the Torah comes and says, okay, you understand this and this, apply it to your life. It's a deeper type of understanding. Chachma and Torah. Chachma is understanding intellectual wisdom and leaving it at that realm. The Torah's wisdom is a wisdom that will take it and permeate it in all levels of existence. This is a truth. It has to become a truth in your experience, in your life. And that's a unique art, not only an art of feeling, it's an art of intellectualism. It's the art of taking a concept and articulating it, and defining it, and clothing it in a manner that it permeates and penetrates all levels of reality, all levels of experience, until your very little world experience, and therefore affects your life. Chachma begayim beferishya. Torah begayim. Torah is what? Torah is the element of das and chachma, which das takes every truth and applies it to every situation, to every nuance of our characters and existence. This is the uniqueness of Torah, and therefore the chachmaschem ubinaschem is another type of chachmaschem ubinaschem. And now we understand the Arizal's words, klipa ein lehem mayachadas. That is what klipa is all about. That's what klipa is all about. Klipa, the antithesis of Gdusha, can master the faculties of Chachma and Bina. But when it comes to Das, they lose. Their power is always in the realm of Chachma and Bina. The reason why they have a power to take away our focus from what's true in life. As mentioned before, you know that this is going to harm your health. But you do it anyway. It's because there's no Das. Over here, in the realm of Das, Klipa knows it loses its validity. Because Das is depth. Das is connection. And the power of Klipa is the power of temptation, of superficiality, of instant gratification. And that is the antithesis, diametrically opposed to what Gedusha is. And therefore, many times on the surface, Klipa seems so much more exciting and better and warmer and so on and so forth than Gedusha. Hadas hu loshen yiskashrus v'yishabrus. But now again we come back to our previous problem. It's very easy to have das in issues that we are naturally oriented to. But what about godliness? What about Torah mitzvahs? So the Alter Rebbe now continues and gives the practical techniques that one implements in his life to achieve a state of das in godliness. So he continues, Shemekasher daitei bekasher amitz v'chazak ma'it. It is the act that one binds his mind with a very firm and strong bond. V'yitka machshavtei b'chayzek b'gdula sein sev baruch. He firmly fixes his thought on the greatness of the reality of the Ein Sof of Hashem, blessed be He. Ve'einoi masiach daitai, without diverting his mind from it. Das requires depth. Das requires focus, concentration. So when you conceive an idea through Chachma and comprehend it through Bina, then comes step number three. Bina means understanding it well. Remember what Bina is. Bina means crystallizing it, defining it, articulating it, contemplating, compartmentalizing it, categorizing it, classifying it, quantifying it, and so on and so forth. Bina is a very clear, thorough, in-depth understanding of a concept. Don't mistake and underestimate Bina. But it's a concept. Bina requires depth of mind. Das requires depth of character. Bina occupies time. And Das occupies energy, soul. Bina touches our brains, our minds. Das touches the human being in his totality. Bina remains detached, aloof, and Das introduces total fusion, bonding, and connection. And for Das, one has to think and think again and contemplate again and apply it and see it from all perspectives and see and come to realize, yes, it's really, really true. It's not emes. In my life, it's emes. Not only emes in the seventh heaven, or emes in the sefer. And Alter Rebbe continues, Ki af mishu chacham v'novim b'gdula sein sef baruch. Even one who is a wise, who is a chacham by utilizing his faculty of chacham, and he is a navain, he is understanding by utilizing his faculty of bina. B'gdula sein sef baruch. In the greatness of the blessed Ein Sof, hine. Nevertheless, im lo yikasher daite, if he will not apply his das, v'yitka machshavti b'chayzik u'basmada, and fix his thought firmly and diligently on the reality of godliness of Hashem, lo yoylid b'nafsha yira v'ava amitis, he will not produce in his soul true awe and love, kim d'myoyne shav, only vain fancies. He will imagine, perhaps, that he experiences an awe of Hashem or a love of Hashem. But true Ava and Yira, which will not be a vain fantasy and imagination, can be achieved only through Das. Why is that? Very simple. Chachma and Bina, being as they are, detached from the human experience, will not produce an emotional, human response to it. Why is it? Because although you understand this concept very well, it has no bearing in your perspective, in your world. So you will not feel for it either positively or negatively. It's detached from you. Midos means experience, not knowledge. What is the border between knowledge and experience is das. Das, again, is not an emotional experience. Das is part of the intellectual faculty of man. It's Chachma Bina Das. But Das is the bridge. Das is what connects, what fuses, what bonds the experience of the knowledge and the experience of Midos. What is the difference between Meichen and Midos? That's the distinction over here. We have three Meichen, three cognitive faculties, and seven emotional faculties. The realm of Meichen is knowledge. The realm of Midos is experience. That is the accurate translation for it. Meichen means comprehending a concept. Midos means experiencing a concept. Two worlds. Meichen means conceiving, understanding, realizing. Midos is experiencing it. Either through being attracted to it, either through being rejected by it or rejecting it, or the other midos, which we will discuss in detail next week. But midos is the human experience. So the Alter Rebbe says, if one wants to have an experience type of relationship with Hashem, not only know about it, but experience it, das is the crucial ingredient. Because what das is, it's an intellectual experience, but it's the power of application. It takes the ideas that you conceived and comprehended and applies it to your life. Now, once it's applied to your life, this is a truth in my life, automatically, and as a consequence of that, you will respond to it emotionally. So if it's something great, you will experience an attraction to it. And if it's something awesome, you'll experience a reverence from it, and so on and so forth. Without das, it's demyoyne shav. The person can think about it, but it's not part of his world. And therefore, ultimately, it can dissipate after a while, and it can vanish. And even in the beginning, it doesn't have a true substance, existence, and the power of endurance. I remember when I was in yeshiva, there were three bachurim in my class. I mean, many more, but three individuals I want to I recall now. They all had had and have exceptional minds. And we learn a piece of Gemara, learn a Tesvis, we learn a Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and all of the three would respond to it in the Beis Medrash, but in three different ways. One was brilliant. And there were always questions on what's Pshat in Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And immediately, instantaneously, his mind would produce a selection of 10 answers, truths. And if one went wrong, immediately he came up with another one. And constantly his mind was producing and giving birth to new ideas. And if you would sit with him for half an hour, in the course of that half an hour, approximately 920 subjects were discussed. And each one he had a new insight to. But it was impossible to understand him. He had no ability of verbalizing what he was saying, of articulating, of defining, of expanding, of elaborating. He mastered Chachma. He was a brilliant conceiver, but a very poor comprehender. And then there was another Bachner, who was a very poor conceiver. He never had that creative mind of coming up with new ideas, but he was a brilliant in taking an essential concept and developing it, nurturing it, comprehending it, verbalize it, communicate it. So he would sit with boy number one, get an idea, and he was excellent in explaining it to others, in developing it, and building, erecting a most beautiful intellectual edifice. And then there was a third Bacher, who was not especially a unique conceiver or a unique comprehender. And when the questioner of Akiva Eiger was brought forth to him, he would never come up with an immediate answer, even after 2-3 hours. He would think about it for 3 or 4 days. He would dream on it. He would sweat on it. When he went to sleep, he was in it. And when he was eating supper, he was in it. And then when he came back, he would give an answer. The answer permeated every fiber of his reality. He mastered the art of Das. He wasn't so good in elaborating the concept and communicating it so beautifully with metaphors, and didn't have those oratory skills which are very much connected to Bina. But he was very, very skilled in fixing his mind on something and not letting go from it. And making sure that there's no word in English for it, asitrakt ois, that it stands true on every level of reality. And when it would be contemplating an ethical or moral truth, the difference between their three lives was also quite evident. I just want to say that when Reb Chaim Brisker says a statement which is very known in the yeshivish world, asa felt in hasbara, felt in havana, that when one lacks the communicating skills, it indicates that one lacks comprehension skills. I believe Reb Chaim was referring to havana, bina, not chachma. One can still be a master of chachma and not possess the ability of hasbara. But bina, if it's a true bina, one requires the ability of hasbara, of communicating, of explaining. But this is all the realm of Chachma and Bina, and then comes the realm of Das. And over here, we are introduced once again to one of the unique messages and contributions that Alter Rebbe puts forth in the Tanya. And this is very important to understand, and this goes back to the general theme we discussed that the Tanya is all about. And with this I will conclude. Why did Alter Rebbe write a Sefer? When someone writes a Sefer, today many people write things without knowing why they're writing it first. But healthy human beings, before they write, they have something bothering them that they want to get out on paper. What was perturbing Alter Rebbe that he decided to sit down and work for 20 years on a Sefer called Sefer HaTanya? So fortunately enough, we don't have to look far in his title page. He said what was bothering him. What was bothering him was a pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Ki karev eilecha hadavar ma'ed b'ficha uvilvavcha la'asaisai." That this thing, referring to Torah and Mitzvahs, Yiddishkeit, is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart to do it. What perturbed Alter Rebbe about this pasuk? He had a very good question, the Alter Rebbe. Ki karev eilecha means that Yiddishkeit, that godliness is close to you. It's near to you. It's relevant to you. It's part of you, who you really are. It's the truth of life. It's the truth of our experience. But what perturbed Alter Rebbe was that it doesn't seem so. His followers and Jews were coming to him and discussing the fact that yes, at moments you feel so inspired and enthusiastic about Yiddishkeit, about the godly reality, but hours later those feelings dissipate and your animal instincts and desires and urges are there again. And sometimes it takes a week or 2 weeks. And they were very bothered by this. And furthermore, they were bothered by the struggle that humanity is characterized by. On one hand, we sometimes experience ourselves as heavenly, as striving to be truthful and idealistic. But then the very same person, a day later, sometimes it has the ability to act so contrary to that and be taken over by a feeling which is totally opposite of that. So the question is, what is true? What is true in our life? Is this force true or this true force true? If godliness is so true, why the struggle? And then it seems that the other side is so true, that it's not true. And therefore they wanted to know one thing. Is Yiddishkeit at the end of the day only a fancy, a fantasy, a dream that we are educated to think about? But ultimately what prevails is the animal and man. And it seems evident from many proofs seem to indicate that. Or is Elikus, is Torah and Mitzvahs really true? And I mean really, really true. Is it our Father? So the Alter Rebbe writes a sefer. Levayir heitiv eichu karev ma'it. I want to explain how it's karev ma'it. And for this, he has to write a sefer. And this is not just a sefer explaining a vart on Parshas HaShavua or on Chanukah or on Purim. This is a sefer about the story of our lives. And the Alter Rebbe continues, I'm going to explain this, B'derech Arucha Ktsara. How do they do it in English on the tapes? In the longer, shorter way. And what is he referring to, B'derech Arucha Ktsara? He's referring to, as discussed then in the beginning, to the famous story in Gemara and Erev and Afnun Gimel Amid Beis, where Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya said that once a child got the better of me, he was traveling, he met a child at crossroads, I asked him which way to the city, and he answered, this way is short and long, and this way is long and short. Which one would you take? Well, I'll tell you what Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya did. He says, I took the short and long way. The short and long way. I soon reached the city, but found my approach obstructed by gardens and orchards. I couldn't get in. So I retracted my steps and said to the child, my son, did you not tell me that this is a short way? Answered the child, did I not tell you that it is the long way? So the Alter Rebbe says, this sefer is not going to be written in the short and long way. It's going to be written in the long and short way. There are short and long answers to this question of karev ma'it. There are Tylenols. You have a headache, here's a Tylenol that can cause instant inspiration, enthusiasm, and fervor. The Alter Rebbe requires over here and gives in the Tanya the Chabad approach to life, which is a whole person approach in which the mind plays the leading role. And over here in Perek Gimel, we are introduced to the first aspect of this approach. Chachma, Bina, and Das. The Alter Rebbe explains that essentially a person possesses two souls, a Nefesh HaLekis and a Nefesh HaBahamas. And therefore there is an eternal struggle in the human being's life. And in the Tanya he explains the purpose of the struggle and how the human being ultimately can come out a fighter and a winner to a certain degree in this struggle, can tap into his godly soul and make it a reality in his life. But it begins with Chachma, Bina, and Das, which is, in one word, the first stage that you need in Kikarev Eilecha, in making Hashem a reality, is Chachma. And Chachma, as explained at length in the past two classes, is the art of nullification. the art of transcendence, the ability to suspend yourself and allow your mind to comprehend a truth that is beyond you. That is the first ingredient for Kikarev Elecha. And it's not so easy, Chachma. Chachma is Kayachma, the potential for abnegation, for bittul. Chachma is the power for us to be nothing, the power to soar beyond our mode of understanding and conceive of a new idea, of a new concept. That's the first step in having a relationship. And then comes Bina. Bina is not enough. In the Chabad approach to Kikarev Elecha, only Chachma is not connected to your faculties. Then comes Bina. Bina means taking that truth that you conceived and crystallizing it, defining it, making a part of your intellectual faculties, comprehending it in a very thorough manner in its full breadth and length and depth. And Alter Rebbe stresses this constantly, that this is a need for Chachma and Bina. People have to learn and know and understand and think and meditate again and again and really, truthfully understand who we are, understand our mission in life, understand our relationship with our Creator, and understand the essence of Torah, Mitzvahs, and Yiddishkeit. But then, Das is very crucial. Because Das takes the truths that we conceived in Chachma and comprehended in Bina and applies it to our real life and makes it our Father. Have a wonderful week.
Yeah.
Do you think it's healthy to I think the Michtam Eliyahu talks about this meditating on the Kadosh Baruch Hu's eternal and having different exercises and doing them every day and in your mind. And is that a healthy thing to do? Is that exactly what you're talking about? Or?
Of course. By davening, that's what davening is all about. Now, I just want to emphasize you one more thing, that we have something I didn't say, I forgot to say this, that sometimes you have a business colleague, and you're a partner, and you all have the same information, and you want to do this, and he doesn't agree with you. Why doesn't he agree with you? You have the same data and information. You see the same things. You understand Chachma and Bina exactly the same. You see that these and these losses are coming in. You want to hire this guy. He doesn't want it. What does it come from? You understand everything? It has to do, you say, we just have different attitudes, right? That's the word. We understand differently. We have different attitudes. Attitudes are very much connected to Das. Attitudes are very deep, ingrained. Right, exactly. And that forms what type of Das we have. Because Das means what type of world you have. What's the level of reality that you experience? Right, right. So therefore, so the understanding, therefore the conclusions will always be different. This guy and that guy. It's still intellectual. Yeah. Because Das means who you are, not what you understand. That's the... I should have said that, yeah.
You touched briefly on, you could say, kind of an out-of-body experience with God.
Yeah, in the beginning,
now,
yeah.
Now, the prophets had that experience, especially prophets like Ezekiel.
That's true, but they didn't die.
No, they didn't
die. Because they had also the element of water. They knew very well that in the deepest meditative experience, you have to come back.
Right.
That none of the prophets ever expired.
No.
But Ben Zoma died, Elisha ben Avoya became an apostate,
right.
And Ben Azai became insane.
And Akiva survived.
And Akiva survived. Because you know why? Because Rabbi Akiva had the element of water.
Right.
They did not. That's Pshat.
Yeah.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya each Sunday morning at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or to receive the tapes weekly by mail, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.